So before I start, I thought you might like to hear this little story which relates to Lord Krishna. Janmashtami is coming up. So we just came back from visiting Guyana, and there was a temple location where my wife grew up in as a Gurukul girl, New Panihati. So the land is still there, and an old temple building, but the deities and everything were moved 20 years ago, back in 1999. So we decided to go and visit that place. And what remains is just the concrete structure. You have the walls of the temple are broken away, but the temple, the altar itself is intact. On both sides, you have two pujari rooms. So the two pujari rooms, they're also kind of falling apart, but the deity, the altar itself is perfectly intact. And all over we have access, but the altar itself, the whole big area, it's infested with wasps, endless, like thousands of them. So no one can actually get in there. But we actually, and they were flying, like hundreds flying in and out, about maybe 4 feet high off the ground. So we crawl under, so we went to offer obeisances on the altar. And my wife found a piece of the chip marble from the floor, piece of the tile, and she decided to keep it. So when we smelled that tile, it smells like incense and perfume, as though worship was just done that day. So that was amazing after 20 years that, you know, it's, so I don't know if there's something special there or not, but it's amazing after 20 years, it still smells like incense and perfume. So anyway, no, it's owned by a devotee right now. One, yeah, Rancho Prabhu Paramadevi, they own the property, so the structure is still there. And also amazingly, it was like a mile down on a dirt road, and all the people living around there that youth was they were accustomed to this temple. They missed the devotees so much that they made an offer to the devotees that please come back and do Sunday feast and kirtan at this location. And they're going to sponsor everything every week. So they're giving an offer, so now it's up to the devotees to, you know, do something. Yeah. So also today marks the day that Srila Prabhupada departed for on the Jaladuta. Is that correct? Is that today? Yeah, so if it's okay, I can read a little bit. Well, it's quite a lot, but I can read something before we get into the class. So, this is taken from Srila Prabhupada Lamrita by Satruk Maharaj. And here's a conversation by Mrs. Nagarajan, she apparently is one of the workers of Mrs. Morarji, who had owned the Sindhya Steamship Company. So she was asking Srila Prabhupada, why do you want to go to the States? Why don't you start something in Bombay or Delhi or Vrindavan? I was teasing him also. You are interested in seeing the States, therefore you want to go. All Swamijis want to go to the States, and you want to enjoy there. He said, what I have got to see, I have finished my life, indicating that he's an old man. But sometimes he was hot-tempered. He used to get angry at me for the delays. So this is when Srila Prabhupada would go trying to see Mrs. Morarji and try to get the permit. He would have to wait and wait, and he was running out of patience, he was getting angry. Yeah. What is this nonsense? He would say. Then I would understand, he's getting angry now. Sometimes he would say, oh, Mrs. Morarji has still not signed this paper? She says, come back tomorrow. We will talk tomorrow. What is this? Why this daily coming back? He would get angry. Then I would say, you can sit here. But he would say, how long do I have to sit? He would become impatient. Finally, Mrs. Moraji scheduled a place for him on one of her ships, the Jaladuta, which was sailing him from Calcutta on August 13th. She had made certain that he would travel on a ship whose captain understood the needs of a vegetarian and a brahmana. Mrs. Moraji told the Jaladuta captain, Arun Pandya, to carry extra vegetables and fruit for the Swami. Mr. Chokshi spent the last 2 days with Bhaktivedanta Swami in Bombay, picking up the pamphlets at the press, purchasing clothes, and driving him to the station to catch a train for Calcutta. He arrived in Calcutta about 2 weeks before the Jaladuta's departure. Although he had lived much of his life in the city, he now had nowhere to stay. By the way, it's our great hope that by reading these pastimes that we can see the urge and the need to increase our Krishna consciousness, to increase our obligation to Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada's movement, to do something, seeing the sacrifice that Srila Prabhupada is making here, and the mood that he's in, his intensity for serving Lord Krishna. So hopefully this can intensify our own desires also. So even though he had lived much of his life in Calcutta, now he had nowhere to stay. It was as he had written in his Vrindavan Bhajan, "I have my wife, sons, daughters, grandsons, everything, but I have no money, so they are a fruitless glory." Although in this city he had been so carefully nurtured as a child, those early days were also gone forever. Where are my loving father and mother gone now? And where are all my elders, who are my own folk? Who will give me news of them? Tell me who. All that is left of this family life is a list of names. Out of the hundreds of people in Calcutta whom Bhaktivedanta Swami knew, he chose to call on Mr. Sishir Bhattacharya, the flamboyant kirtan singer who he had met a year before at the governor's house in Lucknow. Mr. Bhattacharya was not a relative, nor a disciple, nor even a close friend, but he was willing to help. Bhaktivedanta Swami called at his place and informed him that he would be leaving on a cargo ship in a few days. He needed a place to stay, and he would like to give some lectures. Mr. Bhattacharya immediately began to arrange a few private meetings at friends' homes, where he would sing and Bhaktivedanta Swami would then speak. Mr. Bhattacharya thought the sadhus leaving for America should make an important news story. He accompanied Bhaktivedanta Swami to all the newspapers in Calcutta, the Hindustan Standard, the Amrit Bazar Patrika, the Jugantas, the Statesman, and others. Bhaktivedanta Swami only had one photograph, a passport photo, and they made a few copies for the newspapers. Mr. Bhattacharya would try to explain what the Swamiji was going to do, and the news writers would listen, but none of them wrote anything. Finally, they visited the Dainik Basumati, a local Bengali daily, which agreed to print a small article with Bhaktivedanta Swami's picture. A week before his departure, on August 6, Bhaktivedanta Swami traveled to nearby Mayapur to visit the Samadhi of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Then he returned to Calcutta, where Mr. Bhattacharya continued to assist him with his final business and speaking arrangements. Mr. Bhattacharya saying, "We just took a hire taxi to this place and that place, and he would go for preaching. I never talked to him during his preaching, but once when I was coming back from the preaching, I said, 'You said this thing about this, but I tell you, it is not this, it is this.' I crossed him in something or argued, and he was furious. Whenever we argue and I say, 'No, I think this is this,' then he was shouting. He was very furious. He said, 'You're always saying, I think, I think, I think. What is the importance of what you think? Everything is what you think, but it doesn't matter. It matters what Shastra says, you must follow.' I said, 'I must do what I think, what I feel. That is important.' He said, 'No, you should forget this. You should forget your desire. You should change your habit. Better you depend on Shastras. You follow what Shastra wants you to do and do it. I'm not telling you what I think, but I'm repeating what the Shastra says. Even then, Srila Prabhupada was so strong. As the day of his headquarters, his departure approach, Bhaktivedanta Swami took stock of his meager possessions. He had only one suitcase, an umbrella, and a supply of dry cereal. He did not know what he would find to eat in America. Perhaps there would be only meat. If so, he was prepared to live on boiled potatoes and the cereal. His main baggage, several trunks of books, was being handled separately by Scindia Cargo. 203 volumes. The very thought of the books gave him confidence. When the day came for him to leave, he needed that confidence. He was making a momentous break with his previous life, and he was dangerously old and not in good, strong health. And he was going to an unknown and probably unwelcoming country. To be poor and unknown in India was one thing. Even in these Kali Yuga days, when India's leaders were rejecting Vedic culture and imitating the West, it was still India. It was still the remains of Vedic civilization. He had been able to see millionaires, governors, the prime minister, simply by showing up at their doors and waiting. A sannyasi was respected, the Srimad Bhagavatam was respected, but in America, it would be different. He would be no one, a foreigner, and there was no tradition of sadhus, no temples, no free ashrams. But when he thought of the books he was bringing, transcendental knowledge in English, he became confident. When he met someone in America, he would give him a flyer, Srimad Bhagavatam, India's message of peace and goodwill. It was August 13th, just a few days before Janmashtami, the appearance day, anniversary of Lord Krishna. The next day would be his own 69th birthday. During these last years, he had been in Vrindavan for Janmashtami. Many Vrindavan residents would never leave there. They were old and at peace in Vrindavan. Bhaktivedanta Swami was also concerned that he might die away from Vrindavan. That was why all the Vaishnava sadhus and widows had taken vows not to leave, even for Mathura. Because to die in Vrindavan was the perfection of life, and the Hindu tradition was that a sannyasi should not cross the ocean and go to the land of the mlechas. But beyond all that was the desire of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and his desire was none different from that of Lord Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had predicted that the chanting of Hare Krishna would be known in every town and village of the world. Bhaktivedanta Swami took a taxi down to the Calcutta port. A few friends and admirers, along with his own Vrindavan, accompanied him. His own son, Vrindavan. He writes in his diary, "Today at 9 a.m. embarked on MV Jaladutta, came with me Bhagwati, the Darwan of Sindhya Sansir, Mr. Sengupta, Mr. Ali, and Vrindavan. He was carrying a Bengali copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which he intended to read during his crossing. Somehow he would be able to cook on board, or if not, he could starve. Whatever Krishna desired, he checked his essentials, passenger ticket, passport, visa, P-form, sponsor's address. Finally, it was happening. So somehow I got a copy of that ticket. I'm not sure how authentic it is, but you can pass it around. I got the ticket that his pass for the Jaladutta." Srila Prabhupada, "With what great difficulty I got out of the country. Some way or other, by Krishna's grace, I got out so I could spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Otherwise, to remain in India, it was not possible. I wanted to start a movement in India, but I was not at all encouraged. The black cargo ship, small and withered, was moored at dockside, a gangway leading from the dock to his companions, to the ship's deck. Indian merchant sailors curiously eyed the elderly, saffron-dressed sadhu as he spoke last words to his companions and then left them and walked determined toward the boat. For thousands of years, Krishna Bhakti had been known only in India, not outside. accepted in twisted, faithless reports by foreigners. And the only Swamis to have reached America had been non-devotees, Mayavadi impersonalists. But now Krishna was sending Bhaktivedanta Swami as his emissary. So anyway, it continues here, another few pages. It's going to take some time to go through. What happened, as we all know, what happened on the Jaladutta. The next day he had two heart attacks. And he said if he was to get a third, he would certainly not survive. But then he had this dream that Krishna came, was sailing a boat, was rowing a boat, and told Srila Prabhupada that, don't worry, everything will be okay. So it continues, very, very nice pastime. I encourage everyone to read it to understand what Srila Prabhupada has done for us, what sacrifices he has made, and thus how we can help to repay or to feel more obligated to what Srila Prabhupada has given us. So in reciprocation, we can try to attend to our spiritual life and this movement very nicely. As Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that anyone who is initiated into this movement, and by initiation, it doesn't mean that who got initiated. It means who got in touch with this movement. That there are three obligations that develops immediately. One, to take care of your own spiritual life, because no one can do that for you. Two, to take care of your immediate surroundings, like your family members and your students, whoever you have immediately. That's your responsibility. And three, to do something, take up some responsibility in this movement, in Lord Chaitanya's movement. Do something responsible for Lord Chaitanya's movement. So there are unlimited services that we can all perform, so there's, you know, there is no shortage of that. Just think about it, and you can find something to fit yourself in. So anyway, that being said, we can go to Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sina Janmashtami is coming up. I want to, which is appropriate, tying this verse into the Lord's pastime. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 12, entitled Srimad Bhagavatam Summarized. You got to that? Verses 45 and 46 that has no purport. So I guess together, well, simultaneously we can read 45 and then responsively we can do 46. So together, 45. Dehachagascha Rajarsir Vishnu Ratasya Dimaka Markandeyasya Satkata Mahapurusha Vinyasya Suryasya Jagat Atmana. Translation by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. They are also an account of the passing away of the wise and saintly king Vishnu Ratha, who is Maharaj Parikshit. An explanation of how Srila Vyasadeva disseminated the branches of the Vedas. A pious narration concerning Markandeya Rishi. And a description of the detailed arrangements of the Lord's universal form and his form as the sun, the soul of the universe. And 46, responsively. Iti choktan dvija shrishta yat prishto ham ihasmi va lila vatara karmani kirtitat niha sarvasaha Iti choktam duja shrestha.
Iti choktam duja shrestha.
Yat pristoham ihasmi va.
Yat pristoham ihasmi va.
Lila vatara karmani. Kirtita niha sarvasha. Iti choktam dvija shrestha.
Iti choktam dvija shrestha.
Yat prishtoham ihasmi va.
Yat prishtoham ihasmi va.
Lila vatara karmani.
Lila vatara karmani.
Kirtita niha sarvasha. Lavatara karmani kirtitani hasarvashaha. Word for word. Iti, thus. Cha, and. Uktam, spoken. Dvija shrestha, O best of the brahmanas. Yat, what? Prishtaha, inquired. Aham, I. Iha, here. Asmi, have been. Va, by you. Lila Vatara, of the divine descendants of the Supreme Lord for his own enjoyment. Karmani, the activities. Kirtitani, have been glorified. Iha, in the scripture. Sarvasaha, completely. Translation. Thus, O best of the brahmanas, I have explained herein what you have inquired from me. This literature has glorified in full detail the activities of the Lord's pastime incarnation. Om Gyan Timandasya Gyan Janashalakaya Chachur Nitamina Tasmai Shri Guru Vinaya Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Shiva Vibhav Prabhuti Namane Shri Shri Vindata Vivira Padapad Pankajadayane Prabhupada Nubadaya Namo Shri Vibhav Vish Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Paschata Deshikani. So, as we're coming to the end of this beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami is wrapping up and summarizing some of the topics that was discussed in the Bhagavatam. And you can imagine that you were there, and this feeling that now it's all coming to an end. You know, that sentiment that you develop, that sadness of heart, that feeling of, you know, what's going to happen next. Just like when Lord Chaitanya was visiting, I think it was Venkatabhata, the father of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. It was Charamasya, and Lord Chaitanya spent 4 months with that brahmana. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, one of the Goswamis, he was a little boy at that time. And this association was so sweet with Lord Chaitanya and they were discussing pastimes and just the activities of the Lord was so transcendental. And then towards the end, when Lord Chaitanya was about to leave, Venkatabhata was so sad, and he was praying that, oh, now when I'm getting accustomed to you, now I'm getting accustomed to your association, now you're leaving, you know, that how can I bear the separation? So devotees in a similar way, when we start hearing all these beautiful pastimes of the Lord, and now it's coming to an end, it creates a mood of separation, a mood of happiness and sadness at the same time, that brings about a feeling that is not describable in this world. It cannot be described by the English language for sure. So here they're talking in these two verses, they talked about, Sukadeva Goswami is talking about, of course this one it was related back by at Naimisharanya, that the passing of Vishnu Ratha, who was Maharaj Parikshit. So he, as we all know, is a great devotee of the Lord. He became the subject of reception to the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's just such a wonderful thing that he had no fear in giving up his life towards the end, because he was fully satisfied hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And we talked about Markandeya Rishi, which we just covered a little while back, about his pastimes with the Lord and so forth. So all these pastimes are there and to enhance the devotee's attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to enhance his worship and his intensity. So apart from that, as there's a saying in American culture, with everything that one aspires for, the ideas, what's in it for me? Right? Isn't this like one standard practice in the material world? What's in it for me? So, in covering this of these pastimes, what's in it for us, I would like to go to, Prabhu, if you can put it up, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.17. So 2.3.17. Srimad Bhagavatam. There is a very wonderful verse here that describes the benefit of a devotee, the benefit of one. So whenever we get to it. Yeah. What it describes the success of a devotee. So we can go to the verse, the translation. So again, it's 2.3.17, one of the very, you know, serene verses. Of course, everything is beautiful in the Bhagavatam, but this particularly appeals to me. So, both by rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. So this is what is going on here. So the purport, Srila Prabhupada's purport. This verse indirectly confirms the greater importance of utilizing the human form of life to realize our lost relationship with the Supreme Lord by acceleration of devotional service. Time and tide wait for no man. So the time indicated by the sunrise and the sunset will be uselessly wasted if such time is not properly utilized for realizing identification of spiritual values. Even a fraction of the duration of life wasted cannot be compensated by any amount of gold. Human life is simply awarded to a living entity, Jiva, so that he can realize his spiritual identity and his permanent source of happiness. A living being, especially the human being, is seeking happiness because happiness is the natural situation of the living entity. But he is vainly seeking happiness in the material atmosphere. A living being is constitutionally a spiritual spark of the complete whole, and his happiness can be perfectly perceived in spiritual activities. The Lord is the complete spirit whole, and his name, form, quality, pastimes, as what we're describing pastimes here, entourage, and the personality are all identical with him. Once a person comes in contact with any one of the above-mentioned energies of the Lord through the proper channel of devotional service. So here's the key word. So Srila Prabhupada, as we were reading in his Lilamrita, so many Swamis had come to America before the Bhagavad Gita was known. I think they were before Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. There were about 500 different translations. But none of them had any effect on the mass, the people of the world. So here, the key is here that it must be channeled through the through devotional service. So it says here, energies of the Lord through the proper channel of devotional service, the door to perfection is immediately opened. In the Bhagavad Gita 2:40, the Lord has explained such contact in the following words. Endeavors in devotional service are never baffled, nor is there failure. A slight beginning of such activities is sufficient even to deliver a person from the great ocean of material fears. As a highly potent drug injected intravenously acts at once on the whole body, the transcendental topics of the Lord injected through the air of the pure devotee of the Lord can act very efficiently. So here a question arises. You know, Srila Prabhupada is saying here that if it's injected through the ears of a pure devotee, so does that mean that this doesn't apply to us? Can anyone give a comment on that? Does that apply to us? Pardon? Hold on. Wait, hold for a second, maybe. Hold on. Wait. My thing got lost. What does that say there?
Of the Lord can act very efficiently.
By the pure devotee, So mine has a mistake here. Mine says, of the pure devotee. Yeah. Through the ear of the pure devotee. So yours, that says, by the pure devotee? Up?
Who made this change?
I don't know where this came from. This is the pocket Veda. But either way, either, you know, yeah, it's a huge difference, yeah, because I was kind of stuck when I saw this, so I have to look into this. This I got, you know, huh? Exactly, so that's why I was stuck that, you know, does it apply to us or not? But either way, yeah, either way, yeah, yes, Prabhu?
The aspiration of an aspiring devotee, the aspiration of an aspiring devotee,
yeah,
is the presence of his spiritual master.
So anyway, yeah, thank you very much for that comment, Prabhu. So either way, you know, I remember this pastime with Srila Prabhupada that once he was asked, how many pure devotees you have in your movement? And Srila Prabhupada turned to his servant. He said, how many devotees we have in our movement? And I forget what number he gave, and he said, so many pure devotees. Later on, it was, you know, Srila Prabhupada qualified that what consists of a pure devotee? What consists of a pure devotee is one who engages in pure devotional service. So, are we engaging in pure devotional service? For sure, yes, we are. So, despite what stage we're on, then that is pure devotional service. So regarding as who are advanced or less advanced, then that's a different topic. But as far as pure devotional service, then yes, we all fit there. So anyway, I'll continue on this purport. Let me see where we're at. Yeah, my phone got me lost. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah, you had a comment?
So I bring up the... injected by the ear of a pure devotee. So I would relate that to like what you brought up with Srila Prabhupada and the guy that was saying, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So Srila Prabhupada said, whatever he says comes from the Shastra.
Yeah.
So if you're as the speaker, just repeating what Prabhupada said in the Shastra, then your words would be pure. I mean, that's the way I would see it.
Yes, so that's what Srila Prabhupada meant by engaging in pure devotional service. Never, never repeat what you think, but repeat what the Shastra says. So that's what entails. So let's go to Pangavinda Prabhu, then Stithidi Muni Prabhu.
This makes complete sense.
Yeah.
Also, there is a verse related to this, why it has to be through the ear. Words goes Rupa Goswami Pase, Karna Randa Pathodiya Ridi Maje Praveshi. Our hearing effective when it enters into the heart. And Rupa Goswami Pase says, to enter into the heart, the sound vibrations of the Brahma, transcendental sound vibration, goes through the ear hole and it enters through the heart. When that's the only way it can enter through to the heart.
Yeah. Yes, so that's divine
meaning. Then it will be effective.
Yeah.
And then from the heart, it says the next line is Karnaranda Pathadiya Ridimaji Pradeshya Sabdurupe Bhari Onshoy Hidaya Haite Bole Jibbara Agrete Chale Sabdurupe Nache Onukha. Then that devotee, from their heart, if the sound, the realization comes through the tip of the tongue, then it is a pure sound. How does Sabda Brahma act? We should know the science. It says Sabda Brahma, that's how it acts. It goes through the ear hole, not the ear is hearing, through the ear hole, through the heart, and it sprinkle unparalleled nectar. The soul is soaked. When the soul is soaked, then the soul's realization comes from the heart through the tip of the tongue. And that becomes Sabda Brahma.
Yes, Stithidi Muni Prabhu. So, yeah, one devotee described he says a devotee has to be expert to keep one ear open and block the other one. So when it comes in, this message doesn't rush through back the other ear. But you put that stop there and then it goes down to the heart. And No, but you have to learn the spiritual art. But
Prabhupada also said, willingness to learn is a conscious choice. Means the soul has to eager to hear, not the physical ear.
Yeah.
The soul.
But also, even if one is not eager to learn, even if he hears and he doesn't understand, even if it's in a different language, because if it comes from the pure source, then it becomes effective. Just like we have this popular story with the sage and this one person who was listening, and she was saying, well, but you know, we don't understand anything, you know, we can't retain anything that you're saying. So he said, but it's still effective. She said, how? So then he said, well, do me a favor, you know, they were next to a river, take this basket and go to the river and just dip this basket, bring a basket of water. So she said, how are we going to do that, you know, with a basket? So anyway, she went, dip it, came back, the basket was empty, and the sadhu said, go and do it again. So she did like three times, and then she said, this is not working, you know, there's no way that I can bring the water in this basket, it's all leaking out. But then he said, now look at the basket and tell me what you see. He said, oh, the basket is now clean, there's no more dirt and dust on it. He said, well, you know, similarly, even though it passes through, we might not comprehend or understand, but it purifies the heart once it comes from a pure source. So that's also effective. Yes, Tipiti Muni Prabhu?
Oh, can I say something I think about thinking?
Sure.
I think the context of that exchange was...
Okay, Prabhupada said don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he said that exactly. I mean, or I don't want to say I think.
Okay.
But, you know, the context is you have the Siddhanta conclusion, and I want to establish some other principle in opposition, you know, or as an alternative. You know, the Siddhanta conclusions, I mean, Prabhupada thought so much, and he engaged so many arguments, but they're all directed to that, you know, essential Siddhanta conclusions that were consistent no matter what argument he engaged. You know, the intellectual energy is just another one of Krishna's energies. We have to engage it in devotional service. So if we're engaging it in devotional service, it's fine as much as engaging anything else. But if we're using it to establish another path away from Krishna, then you have... maybe a concern there.
Yeah, that is qualified by our trained train of thought within the Vaishnava system, is that one should learn to think independently, because we have, you know, it says that the devotee should be independently thoughtful. But in that thought, he should think in line of the predecessor acharyas. He should think in the line of their conclusion. Then that is the proper way to interpret and to understand Vedic scriptures. To think in the line of how they think, what conclusion. Just like when, in the early days, I think it was 1967, Srila Prabhupada was going back to India for the first time. He had just started the movement, they were all very young devotees, didn't know much about Krishna consciousness. And so they were thinking, how can they carry on in Srila Prabhupada's absence? So they asked, yes, Swamiji, can we invite some other guru to preside until you get back? And Srila Prabhupada said, no. He said, even if they change one word, he said, the whole thing would be spoiled. He said, whatever I've given you is enough. If you just take what I've given you so far, that's totally enough. Don't ever, ever, ever turn to another source. He was so adamant about it that because if they teach you to think in a different train of thought, then it can destroy your whole Bhakti Lata Beach. So he was very, very adamant about that. So anyway, I'd like to continue this purport. So we're here at orally. Where is that? Okay. Oral realization of the transcendental messages implies total realization, just as fructification of one part of a tree implies fructification of all other parts. This realization for a moment in the association of pure devotees like Sukadeva Goswami prepares one's complete life for eternity. So this is one of the key things that attracted me to this purport, that when we hear these pastimes and we take the association, what is called this lavamatra, this moment association with a pure devotee, then it can, is that correct? Yeah, one's complete life for eternity. So this moment's association with a pure devotee, like Sukadeva Goswami is what the Bhagavatam is describing, then that alone can bring about our eternal life of success. So that's how important it is to take the association of devotees. And then they give this analogy here that if one nourishes one part of the body, the entire body becomes nourished. So similarly, if one gets the realization of one aspect, then it implies total realization of the Supreme Lord. And thus the sun fails to rob a pure devotee of his duration of life. Inasmuch as he is constantly busy in the devotional service of the Lord, purifying his existence, So yet again, there is a similar thing. Come up here. Listen to this again. And thus the son fails to rob the pure devotee of his duration of life. Is that what that says? Huh? Yes, okay. So this brings up another question in my mind too, that only a pure devotee, what about us? So yet again, this, you know, the same argument can be given that because we engage in pure devotional service in the presence and from the source of pure devotees, then we automatically fall in that category of pure devotees. So, which means that listening to these pastimes as being described here and summarized here constitute the same effect as it has on Srila Prabhupada, it can have on us as well. Because we are engaging under the guidance of pure devotees, we are engaging in pure devotional service. So this is what it's in it for us, that by hearing these pastimes, by hearing that our duration of life is not cut short. So let's continue. Death is a symptom of the material infection of the eternal living being. Only due to material infection is the eternal living entity subjected to the law of death. Sorry, birth, death, old age, and disease. The materialistic way of pious activities like charity is recommended in the Smriti Shastras as quoted by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Money given in charity to a suitable person is guaranteed bank balance in the next life. Such charity is recommended to be given to a brahmana. If the money is given in charity to a non-brahmana without brahminical qualification, the money is returned in the next life in the same proportion. If it is given in charity to a half-educated brahmana, even then the money is returned double. If the money is given in charity to a learned and fully qualified brahmana, the money is returned 100 and 1,000 times. And if the money is given to a Veda Parada, one who has factually realized the path of the Vedas, it is returned by unlimited multiplication. Isn't that a good bargain? Yeah. I guess Mother Mukhi would probably want to read this here. You know, Janmashtami is coming up. You know, let us all contribute.
Srila Prabhupada would use the terminology in regard to that 100% engagement.
Yeah.
So 1% is sufficient.
Sufficient, yeah. Yep, so the ultimate end of Vedic knowledge is realization of the personality of God at Lord Krishna, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedaicha Sarva Aham Eva Vedya, 15:15. There is a guarantee of monies being returned if given in charity, regardless of the proportion. Similarly, a moment passed in the association of a pure devotee by hearing and chanting. Sorry, my phone disappeared again. Where did it go? The transcendental messages of the Lord is a perfect guarantee for eternal life, for returning home back to Godhead. Ma dhamma gatva punar janma na vidyate. In other words, a devotee of the Lord is guaranteed eternal life. A devotee's old age or disease in the present life is but an impetus to such guaranteed eternal life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. What a powerful purport, you know, is that. This alone, this one purport alone, we can read it every day and guarantee our success in devotional service. Would you agree with that? Yes. Yeah. So this is what in it for a devotee, this is what it's in it by listening to these pastimes, this is what benefit we can get. By simply glorifying the Lord, by listening to the pastimes of he and his devotees, then all success is guaranteed. You know, there is all assurance based on the Vedic scriptures. All assurance is there. So it's such a simple process. You know, we don't have to do all these great analytical studies as to how the moon is functioning or the sun is functioning, and you know, all these different stuff. Of course, Srila Prabhupada said for some of his devotees and disciples he instructed to preach from the scientific basis or, you know, from the intellectual level. And but in general, all he recommends is simply engaging in these pastimes, listening to these pastimes here in Srimad Bhagavatam, daily, weekly, monthly, hourly, minutely, and every second. So now there's so much facilities that are there, we really have no excuses, you know, absolutely not. Even if we don't want to. You know, the other day I saw this person just, you know, they had their phone and they were playing Prabhupada's lectures, and I asked, where did you get it from? Oh, it's here on YouTube. And they showed me, you know, it's there, you just plug it in, it's there on YouTube. So once you have internet access, you have everything, you know, it's so much available. And now our books are spreading all over. The other day we were in the plane flying back, and then we looked behind us going to the bathroom, this one lady, she's sitting and all these other people sitting around, they were talking, and she simply has one of our little books reading. And next thing I heard somebody chanting. The plane starts getting kind of bumpy. The ride was like, you know, rougher than when you go on the dirt road, it's bumpy. And then, Vrinda said, my daughter said, listen, somebody here, like somebody chanting Hare Krishna in the back. So it was the same lady. The same, I don't know who she was, she looks like a total non-devotee to me, I haven't spoken to her, but she was chanting softly, she was singing Hare Krishna. So much facilities are there, you know. So anyway, is there any other comments? I know there are a lot of comments and questions. Anything else one likes to add? Mother Mahamaya?
Hare Krishna. I just want to say, like in the early days, one of the mantras we would hear a lot is that it was a Prabhupada said. So I can't say, you know, the reference, the real reference, it's just we heard it all the time. As a Prabhupada said, if you start a sentence with the words, I think, you should end it in the closet.
Okay. Hare Krishna. All right, let's look that one up. Yeah, I heard pastimes of Srila Prabhupada being very adamant about that. Once they were on a morning walk and he asked a question, and one of the disciples came forward. He said, Srila Prabhupada, I think. And immediately he drove his cane into the ground. He turned around, drove his cane into the ground, stamped his feet, and he said, you think? You do not know? You think?
So there's a spiritual
master. Let's hear what you think now.
Yeah.
Let's hear what you think now.
Well, this is an observation. The spiritual master is there giving you some instructions, then you're imposing your doubts. Mm. You know, well, that sounds good, but what about this? So, you know, if you're using your intellect, you can engage, you know, we call it philosophical, whatever, speculation or something. You know, you engage the intellect to explore the Siddhanta, but if, you know, you're, what about this? What about that? You know, it's like a different kind of thinking.
Yeah, well, it's in different forums. Yeah. And also, it's like, for example, I was just reading the other day, and Srila Prabhupada was asking his disciples, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Of, you know, in terms of spreading the movement, expanding, doing different things. So in that atmosphere of brainstorming, then, you know, Srila Prabhupada would encourage his disciples, you know, to think about it. Because as devotees, we have to be, you know, independently thoughtful. We have to use our common sense. Like Srila Prabhupada says, even in Bhagavad Gita, after Krishna finished describing everything to Arjuna, he said, now you think about it and you make your choice, you make your decision. You decide what you're going to do. He didn't say, well, shut down your brain and just do what I say. He said, think about it. So then Arjuna think about it. Arjuna says, yes, now that I thought about it, I want to shut down my brain and follow your instructions to surrender. So I know there was this big argument about the living entity, the jiva, being independent. Some says that the jiva is dependent, and some says no, it's independent. So our Shastra says they are independent, that we are all independent, but the best way to use our independence is to be dependent on Krishna. So some people get confused between the two. So similarly, you know, to think in the line of Vaishnav culture, and then to think of alternatives. So that way, the guru also understands that this disciple is not a fool, that he's thinking, and when you have questions, when you inquire, then he can better instruct you. But sometimes if after a class you ask for questions and everyone sits, then it means one of two things. It's either that they understand everything perfectly or they understand nothing. Srila Prabhupada said so. So when we inquire, you know, then we're thinking, well, what about this, what about that? But that is not going against the conclusions of Shastra. It's just thinking from different angles. Like I was there with my Guru Maharaj for a week, you know, we were having meetings constantly. And one point he said, because I was arguing one side, you know, one thing, and he was saying, then he said, okay, now why don't you sit on my seat and see things from this angle, you know, and see how it looks here. And then he said, you know, I can see things from your angle, what you're saying, but look at it from this side. It's the same thing we're talking about, but we're looking at it from different angles. That's like you have this story with this Indian teacher. He was teaching his students, and he decided to do an experiment. So he had this big ball, and one student on one side and one student on the other side. So then he asked the student to the right. He said, "What color are you seeing on this ball?" So the student said, it's white." He said, "How can you tell?" He said, "Yes, look, it's all white, color is white, everything." And then he asked the other student, he said, "What color is there?" He said, "Black." He said, "Why are you saying black?" He said, "Look, it's all black, you can tell, you know, I'm not colorblind, it's all totally black." Everything, and he described everything to show that it's black. And then the other one says, "I'm seeing white," this one says, "I'm seeing black." Then he said, "Okay, now I'm going to flip the ball around." So then he flipped the ball around. Then he asked the one on the right, "What are you seeing?" He said, "Oh, I'm seeing it black." So what the teacher did, he painted half of the ball black and half white. So from this angle, you're seeing black, that angle, you're seeing white. Is it correct? Yes, it's correct, but from different angles, this is what you're seeing. So, but if, you know, the conclusion is it's one. So like that, even though, you know, we might think what we think in conjunction with Vedic authority. If that explains anything else. So anyway, we can stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.